Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. What about things? People, places, things. There's certain things you ought not have in your house. You know, if you got a problem with alcohol, and if you're a Christian, you don't need to have any in your house anyway, at all. But certainly not if you got a drinking problem. Certainly not if you're a Christian. But certainly not, even more certainly not, if you're got a drinking problem. There are some things you don't bring into your house. If you got a problem with lust or anything like that, you don't need to be putting up posters or goofy stuff in your house. I mean, how old are you? You don't bring things into your house that are going to open the door for the devil. Get them out. We don't have a TV. We don't get the newspaper. You say, you guys live in a cave? No, we don't live in a cave, and we know what's happening. We know what's up. Most of all, we know the Heavenly Father, and that's the main thing. But you know, when we went and got the internet, because we could see that the internet was going to be a good source of information, a good way to preach the gospel, and also a good vehicle for the devil. We could see that. Anything that's good and reaches the masses, Satan will try to take over immediately. He did television, he's going to, and has the internet. You saw it, he wasted no time. But it is also a good source of information. You can get a lot of information around the world at the click of a mouse. And so we saw that's going to be good. You know, we need to have that. So we got it. But you know what we did? We didn't just sign up with the cheapest one there was. You know, you get this for $9.99. Yeah, and you'll also get pornography every time you flip on your computer, and I didn't want that. I'm a minister of the gospel. I don't want to be looking at these different sites thinking I'm going to be looking at, you know, old collectibles or something like that. And, you know, the old collectible, you know, is not what you think it is. So we hooked up with a service to where they can't get to us. It's a filtering service. We pay, you know, whatever, I think, $19.95, $21.95, whatever it is a month, $20, $21, $22 a month. But I would give them 50, I'm going to tell them that, but I'd give them 50 a month just to keep that stuff out of my house. We can't go there. They can't come to us. It blocks everything. That's the way I want it. You know, some people, everything's almighty dollar, and they're going to put their spiritual life at risk, you know, to save $10 a month. Come on, you waste 10 bucks on everything in the world, on nonsense. But that's just some of the things you don't have to have in your house. People, places, and things need to be changed as you're walking on with the Lord. There's people that, as I first became a Christian, that was the end of our relationship. As you turn to Acts, the 9th chapter. When I became a Christian, our relationship ended. That's it. There are some guys that, you know, where I went to college with. I went to high school with him. I told you about the friend of mine. I went to high school with him here in St. Louis. Went to college with him. We were roommates in college. His dad worked for the largest brewery in the world. Was one of the top executives, and this guy, he just liked to drink. Well, when I got saved, you know, I didn't even drink much beforehand, just a little bit, just very little bit, really. But he liked to drink. Of course, he had it pushed on him since he was a young age. But, you know, when I got saved, that was the end of that. That was it. I cannot fellowship with you on a close basis. I'll always love you. I'll always be kind to you. If you ever need help, I will be there to help you. But as far as run with you, it's over. That's it. And that was it. And they don't understand that. You know, they get mad at you. They think you're holier than thou. Well, we're not holier than anybody. But we do want to do what's right. We do want to protect ourselves so that we don't get pulled back into darkness. We don't want to give the devil an opportunity. We're not ignorant of his schemes. We don't want him taking any advantage of us. So we cut him off where we can. Acts, the 9th chapter, is the place where the Apostle Paul was saved. Jesus appeared to him on the road. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. Jesus appeared to him. Now he's saved. He doesn't wonder whether Jesus is the Messiah. Now he knows it. But you see what happens, the progression, and I'm not going to read it. You can read the first 18 verses or so, and you can see that he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he recovered his sight, his eyesight. He'd lost it out there on the road when he saw the Lord. Verse 19, and he, Paul, took some food and was strengthened. Now for 7 days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he's the Son of God. Talk about a man being shocked. He's really the Son of God. And those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who had come here, that is Damascus, for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus was the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. Do you see that immediately Paul changed his relationships when he got saved? He did not try to still be a Pharisee and buddy up with the Pharisees. That was over. Do you know, it's unfortunate, but a lot of people, when they come into the full gospel movement, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, and they're just thrilled about it. I mean, my goodness, they see it's real. And then they go back and try to tell some of their friends from some denominational churches, and they find out that their denominational friends aren't near as excited as they are. And they do everything in the world to talk them out of it. And you know, there are some people that actually will exchange the truth for friends and for acceptance. Now, you think that won't happen? That does happen all the time. Some people never grew out of letting peer pressure affect them. And the Apostle Paul didn't know anything about peer pressure. Not a lick. And he immediately saw that he was wrong. He immediately saw that what he was doing and the Pharisees were doing by trying to destroy and stamp out Christianity was wrong, and that was the end of it. And notice what happens. Notice what some of your good church friends will do when they find out you've found the truth. Said they plotted to kill him. That's what good religious people do when they don't know truth. When they don't know reality and all they know is religion, they try to stamp you out. But thank God we're not going to let them. Notice Paul immediately changed. Now turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at two references from 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at the 15th chapter and the 5th chapter, so mark them both. But we're going to start with the 15th. The 15th and the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In the 15th chapter, the 33rd verse says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, I've heard plenty of people try to tell me it doesn't. Folks, you believe people actually will fuss with me and tell me it doesn't? Now, who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the Bible, God, or am I going to believe them? Who would you believe? Who do you believe? Oh, it don't affect me. Yes, it does. You just got through telling God he don't know what he's talking about. It affects you. Bad company, that means people, corrupt good morals. If your friend acts like a devil, sooner or later they're going to get you to do something devilish, even if you wouldn't make the steps that they've made. And you understand the devil works by gradualism. And the devil loves when you make that first step into sin, he knows, now I've got a veil I can throw over you, and it's not going to be as easy to tell the second wrong step. And if you make a second wrong step, he'll throw another veil over you. Now he knows it's going to be harder to find the right way, and it's going to be easier to make a third wrong step because you walked into his traps. He works in gradualism. And people don't realize those veils get cloaked over their heart, and they become callous to the Spirit, callous to the things of God. I don't mean harsh and hard and ugly and their demeanor. I mean not sensitive to God, not good at moral perception. Some people live godly lives, I've seen them, but yet I've seen these same people are the worst at moral perception. I've seen them misjudge people and situations. Some people can't judge a situation to save their life. You follow what I'm saying? They don't drink, they don't smoke, but they couldn't tell you what's right to save their life. They misjudge every situation and every person that comes across their path because they're morally deaf. Hallelujah. There's more to being right with God. You got to be able to judge situations correctly and people correctly. How would you know what minister is right and what minister is not right? Because when you come to a crossroads and this minister is saying this and this minister is saying that, how are you going to know who to believe apart from the Holy Ghost? Pharisees were preaching this. Paul was preaching this. Who's right? How are you going to know? Is there a yellow stripe or a red cross on everybody's head who's right? No. They look the same. They act the same. They're human beings. You can't tell in the natural. You only get it by the Spirit. And knowing the Word helps. Some people, the thing that saves their very life is they do know enough about the Word to know that ain't right. So immediately they got their help there. But there's some situations where you don't really have chapter and verse, and you have to be able to judge certain things, moral perceptions, and you need the Spirit to do it. There's no other way to do it. Otherwise, you'll be misjudging people all the time and be wrong. And you get just as much trouble by misjudging a certain person or situation with the Lord as you could some other things. Some people don't think that, but you can. You really can. All right. Now, so you see what I'm saying? Bad company corrupts good morals. Whether you think it does or doesn't, it does. How do I know? Because he said it does, and he's smarter than you. I'm going to side with him. Now, 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, the 11th verse, Paul's writing. Says, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Now, he does not mean the person who is doing wrong and wants help. He's talking about not associating with the one. For instance, the Episcopal Church is about to ordain a gay person, and it's going to split the Episcopal Church. And, well, we're all sinners, aren't we? Why shouldn't we? Because you don't knowingly ordain someone who is practicing and unashamed of their sin. That's not what this verse is talking about. Just to trust his cleansing blood,
just and simple faith. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is Closing the Doors of Opportunity on Satan. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or markslay.org. That's MARKSLAY.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. To the